I bet you can't guess what book we're in this morning. That's right, Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians. What an excellent book. I think one of the reasons I have appreciated Colossians so much is that it's so relevant. And all the books are relevant, but I think there's just certain letters and certain books that just kind of fit the times we're in and the struggles that we face and that we go through. And for me, I've really, really, really enjoyed being in Paul's letter. Such a short letter to the Colossians, but so powerful, so simple, but so encouraging as well. You know, I think I can speak for all of us that there are moments or will be moments in life that are very, very hard. I don't think I'm the only one that has experienced that. Matter of fact, I know that I'm not. I know just being human and being here on this planet Earth, this imperfect place with all the evil that surrounds us, all the trouble and all the problems, there are times where life for us is very, very hard and very, very challenging. I think sometimes that life even has a way of causing us to be a little bit, I call it being staggered, kind of like a boxer, you know, in the ring, and he gets hit really good. He's up, but it takes everything he has within himself just to stay on his feet because he's just been crushed. He's just been hammered. He's been hit. And I think life is like that at times. I was in one of these moments years ago. And I think we all, if you don't have somebody in those moments that you can go to, seek somebody out like that, pray for somebody like that to enter your life. Because I think in those moments we need people. We need certain people. And I have a friend in California. He's a preacher. He's been preaching in Chino for probably 40 years now, close to 40 years. And he's one of those people that it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It might be a personal sin. It might be just challenges of life in general, whatever it is, my own struggles, my own inadequacy. And I can call him and we can talk. And it's one of those places that I call where I've got psychological safety. I feel safe. He's not going to say something that's going to make me feel bad. And I was having one of these moments one day, and I called my friend. And, you know, he didn't tell me to get over what I was going through and to just suck it up and move on. Because, you see, this is life, and we've all got problems. I've got problems, too. What's your problem, Kurt? He didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. Matter of fact, he didn't sigh. He didn't, you know, come across in his tone or anything in a way that made me feel like, you know what, I'm not going to say anything because this person doesn't want to hear anything about my life. He doesn't care. And I needed in that moment for someone to care. And so I called him, and I'll never forget this. This just reiterated to me the power of the word. And we're talking, and he just said, he didn't correct me, he didn't say, you're doing this wrong. He didn't say any of that. He just said, you know, Kurt, over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, he said, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Among whom I'm foremost of all. Notice he said it's trustworthy. And he says this is what it deserves. Your full acceptance. And you know, my shoulders just dropped from one. I've read this before. I've been in the Word like you. But in that moment I needed that. And it reiterated in my mind the power of God's Word. And in those moments, when we are staggered, what it can do. It has the ability to lift us up. It builds us up. You remember Paul in his farewell address to the Ephesian elders in the church there, Acts chapter 20. He says in verse 32, he says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance." Isn't that wonderful, church? That's what the word of his grace can do if we open up our hearts to it. It builds us up, and it's what gives us the inheritance, the promise that God has given us. So my friend, through Scripture, helped my perspective, how I was viewing things at that moment. And you know, I think that's what the Christian life is about, church. It's about our perspective. And it seems to me that Paul's letter to the Colossians is written to give them a better perspective. I think some of them were losing their perspective for many reasons that I've already shared several times. The problems that they were going through, they've lost sight of who they are in Christ, who they really are, and what they really need is Jesus. They're having the powerful persuasive arguments from all these different people in their time. There's a Jewish problem, the old religious laws of Judaism and man-made traditions. They have the paganism that's coming to them with a powerful influence. Some of them grew up probably in pagan homes. Some of them grew up in Jewish homes. Some of them grew up with different philosophies and worldviews. And all these things are creeping back. And Paul wants to give them the right perspective once again through the teaching of Jesus, through the true knowledge of Jesus. I want you to turn to Colossians if you're not there already. Last week, we were looking at what God did for the Colossians at baptism. And isn't that amazing when you stop to think about their conversion? Let's look at this just for a moment. We're not going to read all of it, but I just want to refresh our minds. Starting in chapter 2 and verse 12, listen to what Paul begins to say. He's already said this is a spiritual circumcision. That's going to help the Jewish mind. This is a circumcision of Christ that took place. Verse 12, chapter 2. "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God." So he says it was God's work through your faith, who raised him from the dead. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that raised you from the dead. I want you to notice verse 13. He says, "Also, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh," notice, "he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions." Now, you'll also notice the same thought and idea in chapter 3, starting in verse 3 and 4. Paul says, "For you have died." Where did they die? We just looked at that in context when they were buried with him in baptism. He says, "For you have died, and your life," notice, "is hidden with Christ in God." When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, Paul says, "then you also will be revealed." Notice again, fifth time he says this here. Your life will be revealed with him. I think Paul is saying, I don't want you to miss this point. It's easy to miss these little words, the verbs here. With him, with him, with him. He says, everything that has happened to you is with him, with Jesus. You were buried, you were raised, you're made alive with him, right? You're hidden with him. You will be revealed with him. He says, this is all things that you have, Colossians. All the things you have, church. And we know this is true for us as well. For we have obeyed that gospel as well. We have died. We have been buried. We have been raised at our baptism. Remember, as you went on from verse 13 to 15, he says, listen, here's the things that have happened to you at baptism. He said, you were forgiven. Church, we're here today. We praise God. We took communion and we remember his death until he comes. we're forgiven. Amen. We're a forgiven people. That's why we're here this morning. So he says, this is what happened at your conversion. You were forgiven. The debt payment, the IOU, was nailed to the cross with your name on it, and it says, paid in full by the blood of Jesus. I paid it all. We sing the song. He paid it all. All to him we owe. He says, that's what happened at your baptism. He'll say, listen, Jesus overcame all the wicked principalities, the evil that is in this world and that is behind the scenes of this world. Jesus at the cross defeated that. He beat it. He overcame it. And he says, because you're with him, you have overcome all that as well. It's so much more than what you perceive. It's so much more than what you see. Christ is victorious, and you are victorious as well. It really is all about their and our perspective. Who is our life? What is our life? I want us to look at chapter 3. Our focus this morning is going to be verses 1 through 11. And this is where Paul is going to say, listen, remember, you've changed. He's going to talk about laying aside the old self versus the new self. You were dead, you're now alive. This is their recreation. They are Christians. They're new creation, a creation in Christ Jesus. So much more than what they see. So much more than what even you and I see. Paul says, therefore, always means what I've said already. If you have been raised, we've already noted where that took place. If you have been raised up with Christ. And we know that's not a literal raising. They didn't literally go to the cross, have the nails put in their hands, go to the tomb, raise up out of the... It wasn't literal. It was an imitation. It was a blueprint. It was an example, an obedience to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We call it the gospel. That's just Christ. He says, keep seeking the things above. Perspective. Where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, you set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. And this is where our challenge is. And they had the challenge too. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, to passions, to evil desires, to greed, which amount to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside: anger, malice, wrath, slander, abusive speech, all the evil things that came out of your mouth, all the perverse things that came out of your mouth, the uncontrolled desires, the anger, the unrighteous anger. Verse 9, he says, don't lie to one another. You've laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and you have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction. God doesn't show partiality, right? He'll save anybody. He'll change anybody that's willing to come to Jesus by faith. He said no distinction. Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. Christ is all. Christ is all. And Christ is in all. So he goes back and he says, again, remember what I said earlier, it's a Christ thing. Christ is enough. And a matter of fact, he's the only message you need, and he's the only God you need. That's what he's saying. He is all. So it is perspective. How do we keep the right perspective? Well, there's two things here that Paul says, verse 1 and 2. You seek the things above. You set your mind in things above. Now, I've tried to really keep this in its context, and sometimes it's hard to do. You want to jump directly to the application for today. But what are the things above in Colossians? Well, what has he been saying all along happens in Christ? Where is Christ at? What did Christ accomplish? All of the things that we have just read. I think that's what he's saying. You say, he's saying, listen, take your mind off of the worldly ways, the influences of this life that you're going through, the messages you're hearing, and you place it on spiritual things. Paul is saying it is a spiritual emphasis. Now, I used to struggle with this and think, you know, I need to stay at home all day, sit in my room alone and think of heaven and say it over and over. Not literally, but you get the idea that we can't go and do anything. That's not what Paul is saying. It's a spiritual mindset. It's reminding ourselves of the things that we are. Listen, whether you feel it or not, anybody not feel this way at times? Anybody not feel forgiven? You have the doubts creeping in like the song that we just sang? It's amazing how we're all alike, isn't it? We all struggle and we all need the same thing. And that's the truth of Jesus in our minds on a regular basis. So he said, seek the things above. Now that's in comparison with the things that they were being influenced with. Listen to verse 20 in chapter 2. He said again, if you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of this world. Why, as if you are living in the world, here's those things, do you submit yourself to decrees, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. There was all kinds of problems they were facing. There was all kinds of mistreatment of the body. Some were saying they were denying their body of everything. Others were saying there's nothing you have to deny your body of. Can you imagine their struggles? Of course you can, because we have many of those struggles coming our way today. So how do we keep our mind on these things above? We simply put, need to seek and study Christ. He needs to be the one that we pursue. We need to seek those that seek Christ as well. And this is where influence comes into our life and those that we choose to be with. We want to be around those who have their heads on right. Those who are thinking about these things. And when we come here today and every Sunday, we're with those who are of the same mind. We are with those who are seeking Christ. And so everything we do is to set our mind on these things. Somebody gets up and they lead us, and Ben leads us in the announcements, and he goes over these things and he helps us to direct our minds. The prayer person gets up and they direct our minds. Cliff, he directs our minds in the songs. I get up and hopefully direct your minds to the things that are above, because that's what matters. There's all kinds of influences again coming their way. Remember in chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul said, if indeed you continue in this faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard. See, there many were moving away from it. They were moving away from it. They were being influenced. Go back to chapter 3. There's some great thoughts here. Verse 3 and 4 again. I want you to notice something here. When he says, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ. You're hidden with Christ in God when Christ, who is our life. When Christ, who is our life. Who is our life? What is our life? You know, this is similar terminology to what Paul says back at Galatians. Sometime read Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians together and ask yourself of the similarities, especially Ephesians and Colossians. But in Galatians chapter 2, oh, I believe it's verse 20. Yeah, verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. Listen to what Paul says. I've died with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life in which I now live in the flesh, I live for myself. No, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. Listen to what Paul's saying. He's saying, it's not even me anymore who lives. It is Christ who is my life. Christ who is in me, because I've died to my old self and I'm now living for Christ. It's far more than what we see. It's far more than what we perceive. We are his. And that's what Paul says in this letter. Listen also in chapter 3, another great idea that he presents. In verses 5 through 11, Paul will get in again to the old versus the new. And in verse 2, he says, you have put on the new self. This is similar to what Paul has said in other places. It's the idea of putting on, they had their old garments on or old clothing. Paul says, but now you have the new on. Or you were naked and now you're clothed, even can be the idea. But go back to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 22 to 24. Back up verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. He says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in him, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self. And you know, we're still putting on the new self. We're still dying to the old man. Romans 8, Paul will say that. You're putting to death the deeds of the flesh. But you died. You died with Christ. You died in Christ. You put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to one another with his lips. Each of you with his neighbor, for you are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he who must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one, the one who has need. And then he talks about letting no unwholesome thing come out of your mouth, but edify one another, build up one with one another. How are you going to do that? With the word of God. You know, Paul will also say in Galatians chapter 3, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of us who have been baptized into Christ, he says, and here's the phrase again, have put on Christ. And then he says, there's no distinction. There's neither slave nor free, male nor female, Jew nor Greek, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, he says, you're Abraham's offspring and you're heir according to promise. So it's not about the great things you do. It's not about your heritage. It's not about whether you're a man or a woman. It's about whether or not you belong to Christ. That's all he says that matters. One more passage of scripture and we'll close out the lesson this morning. Chapter 3, verse 10. I want you to notice this one word. We just covered where he says you've put on the new self. Being renewed to a true knowledge according, notice, to the image. To the image of the one who created him. Very interesting word. It's the word in the original language, eikon, E-I-K-O-N. Don't know if it's pronounced right or not. But you hear our word in that, and it means the same thing, our word icon. I want you to think about that for a moment. In chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul has just said that concerning Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the icon. He is the very image. But in chapter 3, he has said, you are the image of the one. So Jesus being the image of God, you and I, church, the Colossians, being the very image of Jesus himself. It's a very powerful thought when you think about it. We are the reflection of him. And Paul wants them to keep this perspective in their heads continuously, to seek the things above, to set their minds on those things that are above. There's a song, and I'm going to close with this. There's a song on the Christian radio. If you listen to Christian radio, I've always liked this song, and I think it makes the point that Paul makes better than I can. It's by 10th Avenue North, and it's called You Are More. I want you to listen to this song in light of the words that Paul has written to the Colossians. He says, "There's a girl in the corner with tears stains in her eyes from the places that she's wandered and the shame she can't hide. She says, 'How did I get here? I'm not who I once was, and I'm crippled by the fear that I've fallen too far to love. But don't you know who you are? What's been done for you? Yeah, don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. I love this. You've been remade. You've been remade.' Well, she tries to believe it. She's been given new life. But she can't shake the feeling that it's not true tonight. She knows all the answers. She's rehearsed all the lines. And so she'll try to do better, but then she's too weak to try. But don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You've been remade." Church, that is who we are in Jesus, so much more than what we know. But we must remind ourselves of these things. We are His. And we are with Him. And what is hidden one day is going to be revealed. Right now it's just a fog, right? It's just a shadow. But one day the reality will be before us. And we will be with Him in glory. If you feel the need this morning in any way to respond to the lesson, whether it be through prayers, whether or not you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, or whether or not you need encouragement, whatever your needs might be, will you come as we stand and sing the invitation song? God.